Good morning. So welcome. I see a few new faces, and it's always good to see new faces come to the Zendo. So you're most welcome here. And it's possible you've been coming for many years at another time, because we're open 6 days a week, morning, noon, and evening. So some people have different schedules, and I might not know you very well, but I welcome you to our Zendo. I appreciate our Sunday morning practice very much. There's something very special, and usually it's a particular cohort that shows up on Sunday mornings. Might be traditionalists, from refugees from other traditions, but there's something about Sunday morning that that brings us together to practice. And I think of it actually as a very generous use of our time. It's a kind of act of generosity that we offer by showing up. In my own case, it's just being generous to myself, my individual needs. Also, I think it's a way of being generous by lending ourselves to that aspect of reality that is boundless. Just allowing ourselves to slip into that quality of emptiness that engages us with everything that's happening in the world. So I see it sometimes as a way of paying dues to the vastness of the universe, is to show up on a Sunday morning. Now, in our Zen tradition, in our Soto Zen lineage, we pay a lot of attention to the writings of the great philosopher and Buddhist teacher Dogen Zenji from the 13th century in Japan, because he was quite a brilliant genius. He's kind of like the Shakespeare of Soto Zen. He wrote this that I just love in one of his earliest writings after he came back from China. When even just one person at one time sits in Zazen, that person becomes imperceptibly one with each and all of the myriad things and permeates completely all time, so that within the limitless universe throughout the past, future, and present, they are performing the eternal and ceaseless work of guiding beings to enlightenment. That makes me feel pretty good, showing up on a Sunday morning. It's very profound thought. He's expressing, this Dogen, 750 years ago, is sort of expressing how we can calm and soothe ourselves. And at the same time, it's not just about calming and soothing ourselves. It's about, at the same time, interconnecting with all being, all that has ever been or will ever be, and that is awakening at this moment. And I would add that it pushes us a little bit in the direction of serving this vast universe, of not just taking from it, of not just assessing our values in relation to it, but actually serving the all of the universe. And what's so bizarre is we do that simply by actualizing our meditation practice, just by sitting. You know, we call it here Zazen. And Zazen just means a seated mind. Zen is mind, and za means seated. So it's such a simple thing we do here. We just sit the mind down for a little while. You know, I was in the interview room in the Doksan this morning. I was talking with one of the members about, you know, how crazy it is in the world. You know, we always think it's most crazy now, and then we'll read some 10th century text that will say, people are so busy. And we recognize it might have something to do with our human, or actually our animal nature. I mean, the squirrels in Central Park are very busy also, you know. So there's something about this busyness that distracts us often from what's most important. And so we always are looking for a kind of antidote to that busyness, a way to remember, this precious moment slipping by right now. All of its features and attributes is just this moment slipping away. Don't miss it. You know, if you find yourself, the minute you get in the elevator, pulling out your cell phone, like everybody, you know, we used to talk in the elevators, to be honest. We used to make little wry remarks. Now we don't do that anymore. Everybody goes, whoop. How does that serve? Maybe a little bit. Maybe it serves someone 5,000 miles away when you tweet something in the elevator. But let's not lose our humanity. That's why we come back to practice. That's what Dogen's getting at. I mean, I just love this. If just one person at one time sits in zazen, it changes everything. You know, once we see the wholeness, we realize that any change in one, any part of the whole is a change in the whole. But of course, you know, sometimes when we come to practice, we can become kind of infatuated with the content in our minds. No matter whether or not we want to label that content good content or bad content, my enlightenment or my pathetic life. And we miss that kind of impermanent, insubstantial, constantly changing aspect of reality. The teachings of what we call in our line of Zen, Jijuyu Samadhi, which again is one of Dogen's phrases. And I think it's best translated as the Samadhi of self-enjoyment. You know, we think, oh, we're not supposed to enjoy ourselves. Well, actually, might be a good idea. Because if you were to enjoy yourself, then you might enjoy others. You might see that that line of demarcation isn't so clear. Self and other. That's the samadhi of self-liberation. Jijuyu samadhi. Self-enjoyment. Why don't you try it right now? Just take a moment and take a breath. Just to enjoy this moment. The horns giving us a little song outside. that we can breathe in and out in the softness of a spring morning. When we're able to do this, our Zazen can heal us. And strengthen us and help us to navigate kind of the ups and downs of the world. I thought that I'd give you just a moment to come back to that silence. But you know, it could have been that the fire station, which is right there, just at that moment, could have decided to turn on their sirens and get their truck out because they have to go get some groceries, which is what usually that's about. But it's a big truck, and so they have to make a lot of sound. But no, we had a moment of silence, huh? Unusual for the Sendo. So the trick is with this Jiju Samadhi, the samadhi of self-enjoyment, is not to get stuck on the content that is constantly arising, but to just let it pass, kind of like the Hudson River or the East River as they go to the sea. To just let those shards of ideas, just to move on, to not to grasp onto them and try to make meaning out of them, just let that go. Because it's the river itself that we are soothing and calming, not the little pieces of debris that are floating in it. I know I often spend time in my Zazen planning. We all have different things that we do, you know, in Zazen. And I'm good at planning. Okay, I'm going to go from here to there and then do this and do that. And then in the afternoon, I'll manage this and blah, blah, blah. That's getting caught up with the content of the mind. I mean, other people have much bigger thoughts, but they're just as trivial. That's the trick, you know. I mean, it's like, oh, I figured out the secret to the universe. Stuck again. So what Dogen says about this is this dharma is amply present in every person. But unless one practices, it is not manifested. Unless there is realization, it is not attained. He's assuring us that we all have what it takes to practice and to live our lives in a sense of completeness, in accord with the universe. But unless we practice, that's that one line, dharma is present in all of us, but unless one practices, it is not manifested. So that's why I said I'm really happy you're here on a Sunday morning. Because although we can practice at home and we can practice walking down the street or when we're on tour, we can practice. Still, when we come together, it makes it stronger and allows us to practice in these other times in our life. To practice is to take each moment, whether it's a beautiful blossom falling from a tree or an angry other passenger on the train, to take whatever is arising and use it. You know, this time I've in another life, another time in my life, I was very political. And so I tend to kind of get triggered by the media or people on the street or even buttons that people are wearing and signs that they're holding. So that's kind of like the point of my practice now. It's like that's the edge. And so rather than when I see something that I don't approve of or don't agree with, instead of going on the wonderful tirade that I can do in my mind, you know, I kind of like want to stop for a second and say, where are you going there? Is this the most beneficial use of my mind at this time, or of the expression on my face as I'm looking at the other? Is there a more dharmic way to approach this situation in terms of service? So it's tricky though. When we practicing our self-enjoyment or samadhi, that's when we've taken the time to just sit. But most of our lives are in the world, are relating to others. And most of the time we're engaged in figuring things out. We use our conscious intellectual approaches to organize ourselves. But you know, that conscious intellectual approach is only one part of our mind. It's only one part of our body, of our being. When we sit, we allow these other aspects of our mind to come forward. And that's what, you know, we call wisdom. That's like when we move away from just the kind of intellectual discernment and we see the larger piece. And that's a reason why some of us use koans to remind ourselves of the wholeness of our experience. That it's not just our intellect that is practicing. You know, a koan is just, it's like a puzzle. It's usually a story from past teachers and their interactions with people. And so the key to it is not what it appears. It appears to be this kind of puzzle of words. But actually, it's designed to break that up and bring you back to this reality. So I have a koan for you this morning, because I think it shows this beautifully, this kind of difficulty we have between using our minds, our brains, our intellects constructively, and when it begins to blind us and hold us back. So it's a story of Rico Taifu, who was a judge and a high official in China, and his teacher Nansen, who was one of the great teachers in China. Did I say Japan just now? I meant China. And Nansen was Joshu's teacher, so he was a very famous teacher. So they're walking in the garden, and Rico Taifu asks teacher Nansen. He says, Dharma Master Zhou is exceedingly wonderful. He said that heaven and earth have the same root, and the 10,000 things are one body. Isn't that beautiful? Heaven and earth have the same root. The 10,000 things are one body. And Nansen points to a peony growing in the garden. And he says, Taifu, people these days see this bunch of flowers as if they are in a dream. So Taifu gives this beautiful quotation from a great master, Zhou, which was around in the 5th century patriarch, very early. It's a beautiful line. Heaven and earth have the same root. The 10,000 things are one body. It's like, you know, we chant, dharmas are boundless. I vow to embody them. What does that mean? Nansen says, people nowadays see this bunch of flowers as if they are in a dream. Well, this guy, Taifu, he was an officer, judge, and there's a story about him when he first came to practice with Nansen. And he has an audience with this great teacher, Nansen, and he says, I've raised a goose in a bottle, and it gradually grew too big to get out. Now, without damaging the goose or the bottle, how would you get it out? So he's come to this great Zen master, and he's given them his own puzzle. He wants to test the Zen master. So the Zen master, Nansen, says, Taifu, which is the guy's name, right? Taifu says, yes. And Nansen says, it's out. So you can kind of see how, you know, Taifu's got this kind of very intellectual, this wonderful logical mind. He wants to test people and everything. And Nansen is showing him another side of reality. People these days see these irises as if in a dream. So the quotation, you know, really wonderfully allusion to oneness and manyness, to the quality of emptiness. It's kind of like when you read a really inspiring book, you know, and say, now I get it. And then the cat knocks something over and you throw the book at the cat. So the point, of course, is in so much of Zen is that the words cannot reach this quality of presence and thusness. That very quality that helps us to live our lives with enjoyment and joy and to serve others, just to allow them to also live with enjoyment and joy. This is, for some reason in my life, this is one of my favorite koans. And it calls up also, people these days see this bunch of flowers as if in a dream. It reminds me of the Diamond Sutra. A flash of lightning is in the dark, a star at dawn, a bubble in the stream. To recognize our life in such a way that there's nothing to depend on in terms of these hard categories. Everything is in this flowing flux. Yes, we need to take a picture of this and a picture of that in order to do something, but the picture is not the thing itself. Peony isn't even a peony. It's so I'm building all this up to just to ask you to ask yourself, what is it that you see in a dream? What is it in your life that you see as if in a dream? Is it your idea of practice? Your idea of enlightenment? Your idea of who you are, as if in a dream, who you are? We abstract our understanding into the kind of dead words, other people's words. Imagine that, how we can describe ourselves in other people's words. And we cut off our feelings and our experience of now. And I think we do this out of fear and out of habit, which is the worst thing, to think that your image of yourself or your identity is kind of locked into some kind of habit that you have, habit energy, a lack of attention to your change, how you're changing in each moment. We would rather avoid our experience of just this moment by relying on what someone else said or what we thought yesterday, rather than being alive to this moment. That's what our Zazen helps us to do, is to be alive. So I ask you to consider, if you're dragging the last thought you had about things and the last moment that you had into this moment. I was angry. I was sad, I was depressed, but is that where I am right now? Or maybe I'm in neutral. Learn to scan yourself. Learn to actualize release from what is dead, what is not here anymore. Dogen has another piece that we'll study maybe this summer. Total exertion in the moment. Just think. Just exert yourself totally in the moment. Right now, you can just scan your body and feel where there's tension. Just notice. Just breathe into that tension. Being present is not talking to yourself. There's two there when you're talking to yourself. Just blend into yourself. Being intimate with your breath and your mind. This is the idea. I'm enlightened. But this is the experience of being awake to yourself. D.T. Suzuki was asked by Mickey Strunker, he was a physician during World War II, and so he was speaking to D.T. Suzuki in prison, and he asked him to describe his enlightenment experience. And Suzuki said, I was walking up the old stone steps to the gate at Engakuji, and I was walking between these large, dark cryptomeria trees. And he said, as I walked up the steps, I became aware that I was the same as the trees at which I was looking. It was not that I'd ceased to be myself, but I had become the trees as well. Can you imagine opening your heart so wide that you can include the traffic out there on the street? He did not cease to be himself. That's key. Because I think it's the fear of ceasing to be ourselves that prevents us from opening ourselves and really awakening to our position in the universe. But we can do it. And ride freely in the world. We can do it. We just have to potentiate ourselves by our Zazen practice. That's why it's so important to do it every day. And if you can't come to the Zendo or a Zendo at home, take the time to be who you are in the widest sense. To be who you are. We can sit Zazen and become the earth itself. The earth that's in trouble right now. Our ice is melting. The Gulf Stream is slowing down. My air is dirty. My humans are cutting down all the trees. And I'm just this old lady offering a Dharma talk this morning. Also, two things at the same time. Or are they one? We take care of the earth. We take care of our humans. We take care of our Sangha. Remember Dogen's words, when even just one person at one time sits in Zazen, that person becomes one with each and all of the myriad things and permeates completely all time. So that within the limitless universe throughout past, future, and present, they are performing the eternal and ceaseless work of guiding beings to enlightenment. You had no idea that that's what you were doing here this morning. How marvelous is that? You thought it was all about you. So let me offer a closing gatha. Let's sit here in this little spot on Broadway and find ourselves and find each other and enjoy the fresh spring day with its myriad blossoms.